Romans chapter 10. The title of the message is The Importance of Preaching. We will see this as we go along here. Paul says here in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, Salvation is a heart work. It's believing with the heart. You know, when you believe with the heart, whatever it is you believe with your heart, you embrace it. When you believe it with your heart, your affections are tied to it. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then he says here in verse 11, for the scripture saith, whatever we have to preach, the message that we have to preach, our only warrant for preaching it is from the Word of God. I'm not at liberty to give you my opinion on anything from this pulpit. I'm at liberty to give you what thus saith the Lord. Anything other than that, it leads to trouble. For the scripture saith, and Paul in his writings is always referring to the scriptures, And when he refers to the scriptures, he's referring to the Old Testament scriptures. For what saith the scripture? Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And he's quoting from Isaiah 28:16. Where God said, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, and whoever believes on him will not make haste, is what it says there. But here Paul says it means he'll not be ashamed. That's what the scripture says. Whoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ with the heart. Now, with the heart, you embrace him. With the heart, you receive him as Lord and Savior. In that order, Lord and Savior. Whoever your Lord is, that will determine the Savior. He's Lord and Savior. And whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. We have the Word of God on this. We can take God's word at this. That whoever believes on Christ, when this life is over, will not be put to shame. Over in Job, it says, they were confounded because they had hoped. They were confused. But the preacher said, if I repeated this prayer after him, I'd be saved. I'm confused here. Well, repeating a prayer never saved anybody. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ has saved everyone who has believed on him. With the heart. With the heart. And this righteousness that Paul's been writing about, that we need, and this salvation from sin that we desire. I desire to be saved from my sins. Do you desire to be saved from your sins? Hell doesn't even enter into my mind. I'll tell you what enters into my mind, my sins. If the Lord will save me from my sins, I have nothing to worry about. Years ago, in a place that I worked, this man was... He was getting, he's all tore up. Some preacher there had gotten him all tore up. And he was talking to me about heaven and hell. He wasn't talking to me about Jesus Christ and sin. He talked to me about heaven and hell. And I asked this man, I said, which do you fear the most, God or hell? He said, I fear hell. I said, well, if you find favor with a judge, you don't have to worry about the prison, do you? I said, you fear the wrong thing. Christ said, fear, I tell you who to fear. Fear him who has the power to cast both body and soul into hell. Don't fear anyone who can only destroy the body. Fear him who can just cast both body and soul into hell. He's the one. He's the object of our fear. And my sins. My sins. I want my sins put away. That's what I want. Because I know if my sins are put away, I have his favor. I have favor with the judge. Justified. That means nothing against me. Nothing against me. So this righteousness that we need and this salvation from our sins that we desire is had by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like what it says here. And it extends, listen, to whosoever believes. Whosoever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mention anything here about the man's, he's such a wretch, he can't be saved. I want you to listen here. No one will ever be cut off because of sin, because of nationality, because of background. You know why Israel could not enter the promised land? One reason, only one: unbelief. They did not believe God. You know, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe God. You're literally taking God at his word. Not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to call God a liar. It literally is to call God a liar, not to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to say, I don't need him. That's what it is. It's to say, I don't need him. I need him. I need him from beginning to end. I need him. And it's to whosoever believes. Lord, I believe. What did that man say? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And that's what I feel. You feel that? Lord, I do believe. I believe thou art the Son of God. I believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I believe he is the Lord. I believe he is the King of Kings. I believe he is God Almighty manifest in the flesh. Lord, help my unbelief. But I do believe. I don't have any problems with whosoever believes, because I know in my heart that everyone who believes God is a work of God. This, they said to the Lord, our Lord, they said, what can we do? What might we do that we might work the works of God? What can we do that we might work the works of God? You know what our Lord's answer was? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. That's God's work. That's God's work. That's a work of God. So whosoever believes shall not be ashamed, because that is a work of God. Does it not say in Ephesians that faith is the gift of God? It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's a work of God. Any person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall not, will not, cannot be put to shame. God will honor his word. And I tell you what, that's, you take salvation away from feelings and you base it on the word of God. This is why I believe. This is why I believe I'll stand before God accepted. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I call on you. I call on you. I call. And that person will not be so disappointed. You won't be disappointed. In fact, you'll stand amazed when life's over. You'll stand amazed at the grace of God. That's when you and I will really understand grace. That's when you and I will see amazing grace to be really amazing, is when we stand before his presence. spotless. We won't be disappointed. We won't be embarrassed of our faith in Christ, because all that He has promised, He will do. All the promises of God in Him are what? Yea and amen. You can take it to the bank. And He says here in verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That's what He's saying there in verse 12. Well, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. There's no difference. I told you last week, all distinction is gone in Christ. In Christ we are one. In Christ we are God's children. And there's no difference. The Jew is not favored over the Gentile. There's not... I heard a man say this one time years ago. These things keep coming back now. It's amazing how you get this rewind going when you stand in a pulpit. But I heard him preaching, and he was a Landmark. If any of you know what Landmarkism is. And he said, being a Baptist is like riding first class. Anything else is like having to ride in coach. I thought, you have no clue what you're talking about. In Christ, there is no first class, second class, third class. We are all one. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we are. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There's not one bit of difference between any person who's in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no advantage. There's no one does not have advantage over another. There's no advantage. For the same Lord over all, He's over all, is rich. Rich unto all that call upon Him. You can take the person that has gone to the gutter. I mean gone to the gutter. The same Lord is as rich to him or her in grace. Just like Mary Magdalene, the Lord cast out seven devils. He is as rich to her as He is Mary, the one who's called the mother of Jesus. He's as rich to one as He is the other. All things are yours in Christ. Each one of you. Each one of you. We have the same. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. From the uttermost to the guttermost. He's rich unto all that call upon Him. Boy, that's just a wide berth there, isn't it? I mean, there's just no class that says, I'm gone. No. Whosoever, whether he's Jew or Gentile, calls upon Him. All who are saved have the same Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's rich in mercy and grace to every person who calls upon Him for salvation. He's able to supply all our needs. The Scripture says He's able to save them to the uttermost. And Henry used to quote that sometimes as guttermost. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. He stands in God's presence for them. For whosoever, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, why does Paul say, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved? Here's why. His name reveals who He is. It reveals who He is. And it's evident that a person who calls on Him knows something about Him. God has made Himself known. Christ has revealed Himself. If you're going to call on a person's name... If I call on Doug's name, all of you in here, you know him. You know him. When I call his name, you know something about him. And for me to call on the name of the Lord, that's not just saying Jesus Christ. That's just not saying a name. But when Paul says here, whosoever shall call on his name, he's talking about a person who's made himself known to you, and you know something about him. I may not know much about him, but I know this. I know he can save this sinner. Lord, you can make me whole. Isn't that what the leper said? Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He knew two things. He knew that man was the Lord of heaven and earth. He knew that. And he knew that he had the power to make him clean. You don't have to be a theologian, just a sinner. Christ doesn't save theologians. He saves sinners. Paul, the Apostle Paul, had to come down and get in the dust as a sinner. Not as a theologian, not as one who was well trained and studied in the Scriptures, but as one who needed mercy. One who needed mercy. That's what he's talking about here. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Let me just give you a few names of the Lord I've got written down here. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You know that. When you call on him, you know he'll provide all that you need. He has the power to provide salvation. He has the power to forgive you. He has the authority to do that. You know that. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Lord, you can make me clean if you will. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. He's our banner. He's one we are under him. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. I know if I have peace with God, I'm going to have it through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. I know that. Jehovah Rea, the Lord my shepherd. Now, I may not know these names as I'm reading them to you, but I know this. I know the Lord's my shepherd. I know he's my peace. I know he's the one who heals me. I know that. Jehovah Sidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. Now, I know that. I know that if I'm going to stand righteous before God, I'm going to have it in Jesus Christ. All these names, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is present. All these names, now listen, all these names and all that they mean, they are all wrapped up in the name Jesus Christ. They're all wrapped up in that name. Jesus Christ. So whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, and I just gave you a list there, shall be saved. Now here's a good question Paul asked in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? This jumped out at me as I was reading this last night, or yesterday evening. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Faith precedes calling. God has to work faith in you. Faith is the work of God, or you'll never call. You will never call. You will never, he says here, you will never call on someone you've not believed. You didn't believe God. You didn't believe him. How, and he's saying here also this, how can the Gentiles be saved who've not believed in him? They've not believed him at all. How can a person call on his name if he doesn't believe that he's able and willing to save? Every person, now listen, every person whom God has saved, and we can go back to the Gospels, when all those people whom he healed, every one of them, when they called on him, when they called on him for sight, when they called on him for their to be able to walk, when they called on him to raise the dead. Now listen, every last one of them believed before they called, or that had never called. Every one of them believed. Lord, give me my sight. Those two men, they said, Lord, give us our sight. He said, what do you want? He said, what do you want? I'm paraphrasing. What do you want? He said, they said, give us our sight. You know what he said? Do you believe I'm able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. And you know what happened? They received their sight, which was evident they did believe it. And that's why they called. That's why they called. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And listen, how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they? This goes deeper than how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard of? Now that can be said. You can't believe in someone you've never heard of. But how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? You remember what the woman at the well, she went back into town. Come see a man that told me everything I ever did. And the whole city goes out to hear him. And as he spoke to them, you know what they said? Now we believe, not because of her word, but because we have heard him ourselves. We have heard him ourselves. There, you're sitting here and you've sat here for years. You've heard the gospel preached, and then one day you heard him. You heard the Lord speak. Your heart was smitten. As the old writers would say, you gained an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ when before you had no interest in him at all. And then one day you come and then you have an interest. You have an interest in him. You have an interest in salvation. You have an interest in God saving you. You have an interest. Why? Because you heard him. Now I believe, not because I heard the preacher, but because I've heard the Lord. He's called me. He's called me. As Samuel went to Eli, the Lord called Samuel, and he went to Eli, and he said, here I am. And he said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And he heard him again. The Lord called him again. He went to Eli, and he said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And the third time he came, he said, listen, the next time you hear that, you say, Lord, speak. And he did. And then the Lord revealed himself to him. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Never heard him. They never heard of him, but they never heard him. They never heard him. Henry used to say, you cannot believe on an unrevealed Christ. You can't do it. In verse 14, and how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear unless God sends a preacher? God does not work apart from means. God is a God of means. And it is pleased God to take vessels like me, clay pots, so that it be evident that the power is of God, not of me. He uses a clay pot. And he sends that clay pot. He put this treasure in earthen vessels, and he sends that earthen vessel to preach the gospel. He gives the gifts and abilities to preach and communicate the gospel. And that preacher preaches Christ. Christ is our message. Christ in his deity, Christ in his manhood, Christ in all the aspects of Christ. Christ is like the rainbow of many colors. There's many sides of Christ. Many. One Christ, but there are just many things about him. But God sends a man, and that man's message is Christ. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The world calls what I'm doing foolishness. The intellectuals calls this foolishness. But this is how it pleased God to save sinners. To believe the message. The message of grace. The message of Christ. That's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And Paul quotes that here in a little later. And how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they preach? They can't. Preaching is a gift of God. What I'm doing, now listen, what I'm doing, if I am called of God, what I'm doing is supernatural. It is. Now, anybody can stand here and take an outline and give it to you. Anybody can read a commentary, write down some cliff notes and give it to you. But to preach in the power of the God's Spirit and the people and sinners be saved and the church be fed, that is a supernatural power and work of God. How shall they preach except they be sent? God calls them, God equips them, God sends them. And if God sends them, you're the most blessed people on earth. I'm telling you the truth. My job, what I'm doing, my responsibility is far more important than the President of the United States. I was trying to think of the story Henry told of a missionary whose son stepped down from being a missionary and he took a position as an ambassador. I'm thinking he's over in England. He took a position as an ambassador and he came and told his father about it, and his father was so sorrowful of it. He said, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You just stepped down from the highest calling on earth to be an ambassador." What the president says may affect your pocketbook. And it will. One way or another. I try not to get into that. But what I say has eternal life and death attached to it. What I say has the glory of God attached to it. What I say is far more important. It's far more important. And what you believe, and what you, and the one you're listening to, be careful. Be careful. Always be educated in the Word of God so you won't be duped by anybody. By anybody. Bring your Bible and open it up and search the Scriptures. Be like the brave Bereans who searched the Scriptures daily to see if those things were so. How shall they preach except they be sent? And he says here in verse 16. Well, let me read verse 15 again. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet. I mean, just the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. How beautiful are their feet, because they carry, it has the image here of carrying the gospel, a messenger. So someone carrying the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. That's glad tidings to a bunch of rebels. It is. But they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's over in Isaiah 53. Not everyone believes. There have been people who have sat and grown up and sat under the gospel all their lives and never believed it. Never believed it. I've seen people sit for years under the gospel, then leave it. I've seen it happen. They've not all obeyed the gospel. That's what he's quoting Isaiah. He's quoting Isaiah. It takes the Spirit of God to enable a God-hating sinner to believe God. Because the natural mind, it says, is enmity with God. It's enmity. You know, it seems like only a few believe it, doesn't it? I mean, look, this house, I guarantee if we turn this into entertainment, well, I could fill this place up. I guarantee we could add on. We could add on to this church. You know, I had a business for 25 years. I know how to grow a business, but this is not a business. This is not a business. This is the body of Christ. When I preached on the radio here, the man asked me, he says, why do you want to preach on the radio? I says, I want to glorify Christ and reach the sheep. He said to me, it was like, good, because most people want to do it as a business. Most of them are trying to grow the congregation. I want to do it to I want to glorify Christ first and pray that the sheep that are out here, the lost sheep, Christ said, I came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you know that you who believe are of the house of Israel? You are of the house of Israel. You are the true Jews. You are. That's what Paul said. Paul said, we are the circumcision which have no confidence in the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is in Christ. Didn't I read, wasn't that in Psalm 65 that our confidence was in God? Our confidence is in Him, not us. Not us. But they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed thy report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the gospel preached, by hearing the Lord voicing the message. And hearing, listen, hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. It doesn't come by me getting up here and giving my opinion. It comes up here by the word of God. When God the Holy Spirit awakens you, quickens you, gives you life, the Word of God comes to life, doesn't it? Until then, it's a closed book. But now you can read the Word of God and you can say, I see. I see. How many times people say to me after preaching, I never saw that before. Never saw that before. Man, that was a blessing. you see it by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, he said, verily their sound went to all the earth. The gospel's gone throughout the world. You know, nature itself declares that God is. And their words have gone to the end of the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know first? Moses, he goes back to the Old Testament. Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Moses told them this was going to happen. That God was going to turn to the Gentiles. That was told. And when it happened, they still ignored it. They still didn't believe it. They still didn't believe it. I read this before coming out. Over here, let me see. I think I forgot to write the number down. I was reading here in Hosea. Let me read this to you. Hosea 1:10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. God gave witness that he's going to turn and save Gentiles. But they had such a prejudice and such a hatred against the Gentiles, they were like, no, you know, because they called us dogs. I mean, they may got right, but they're dogs too. It's like a pot calling the kettle black. They're dogs too. Here's what Israel forgot. They would go trace themselves back to Abraham, but they wouldn't go back to Adam. They said, we be not sinners. Well, then you don't need a Savior, do you? I do. They fell in Adam like we fell in Adam. They're the same nature we are. We be not sinners. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And thank God if you know you are. I mean, really know you are. But Isaiah, he says in verse 20, Isaiah is very bold and saith, and he says it in Isaiah. I mean, Hosea said it, and it says in Isaiah. I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. He gave us a prophecy here. He gave Israel a prophecy of what he was going to do. And what is it? They did not believe him. It all comes right back. It all comes back to believing God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But to Israel he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands into a disobedient and gainsaying people. All day long. If the gospel leaves here, listen, if the gospel leaves here, it will be our fault. It will not be God's fault. Everybody winds up in hell, winds up in error, their own fault. They would not believe God. But you who do believe God, it's by His grace. We'd all walk out of here. Every last one of us would walk out of here. But God, by His grace, says, you're not walking out. You know, I'm not going to let you walk. I'm not going to let you perish. And that's His royal prerogative to do so. Isn't it? That's His royal prerogative. And I tell you what, He's sure more gracious. He saved more people than I'd say. I guarantee you. You and I'd save our families and friends and everybody else go to hell. But God saves people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation under heaven. I mean, heaven's going to be populated with a multitude, an innumerable company of sinners saved by grace, that He would not let them perish. If you and I could perish, we would. We would if we could, if God let us. But thank God for His grace and mercy, He's not letting us. He's given us faith to believe Him and follow Him. All right.